Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzlingly white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. So you'll be aware, I'm sure, that each year on the second Sunday of Lent, we have the reading of an account of the Transfiguration. So this year is from Luke, and last year ABC. We have Mark, and then Matthew, and then Luke. And so. And you'll find, if you read three accounts in the Gospels, that three of them are not the same. They're a little different. And so that doesn't matter, because the how it happens doesn't matter, but the significance of it is the important thing. And so even though we're very, very familiar with the story or the account of the Transfiguration, it's good maybe see, can we find something in it that we didn't see before? And just before we go on to that, it's funny, but you remember Peter saying to Jesus, "Oh, this is wonderful to be here. They've just seen this marvelous light and this marvelous vision," and they didn't want to leave. Well, who would want to leave after seeing something like that? And so they said to Jesus, let us stay here and make three tents. Let us camp here. Now, those of you who have been to the mountain of Transfiguration, and it can be a very terrifying and frightening experience, especially if you take one of the local taxi cabs, because they go at an unmerciful speed on a very narrow path, and you think, "Oh, we're never going to survive this." But when you realize what Peter said to Jesus, let's camp here. If you go up there today, the Franciscans have put up a sign, no camping. So you're still not allowed to camp there. Now, what did I pick out of the gospel this morning? And conscious that we must always be in the present when we speak on a Sunday morning, because strictly speaking, Jesus is an eternal now, God is an eternal now, and Jesus was always in the present. And Jesus, when he spoke, he was always aware of what was happening around him. And we too, when we come to Mass on a Sunday morning, we need to be aware of what's going on around us. Now, the symbolism in the gospel this morning is very interesting, and it's only one. This is only one I'm picking out. That we have Moses and Elijah and Jesus in the middle. Now, Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. And so in our modern day language, you could say Moses represented the conservatives, and Elijah represented the liberals, right? And Jesus was in the middle. And then later on, he was the person in the middle that was bringing the two of them together. And later on, we're told, they disappeared and only Jesus was left. To me, that's a very powerful symbol, that Jesus did not make a distinction between the two. Jesus was not a dualistic thinker. He was both and he took neither side. He took neither side. Now we're coming down to what we are like today, and we are told you must be on one side or the other, and we think along those lines. So, right, let's bring it down and be blunt about it. Bring it home, right home, and look around at what's happening today. And we're totally, many people are totally polarized. And there's some terrible anger out there. But that's the wrong thing to say. There's anger out there. There's probably, at this moment, a lot of anger here in the church. Now, I hasten to say, there is nothing wrong with being angry. It's a normal, human, healthy emotion. So it's not a sin to feel angry. But what you do and how you deal with that anger is very, very, very important. Very important. And so we look at words. Words, whether we like it or not, have an enormous influence on people and a terrible influence on some people. And when you hear it said time and time again, when you hear people who are fleeing from terror, from war, from hunger, women and little children, and when you hear them being referred to as invaders, can you imagine what that does and the influence that has on some people? And then you switch back to Thursday night. It was Friday in New Zealand. And we have a young man there, 28 years of age, and he murders 50 people. 50 people are dead now, and close on another 50, including two children, are seriously wounded. And when you read what he said in the manifesto, he regarded Muslims, how? As invaders. Invaders. Where did he get that kind of thinking from? Another, I'm very conscious of it. We're taught in the gospel this morning that Jesus was surrounded by a brilliant, dazzling light. Is there any light in what happened in New Zealand on Friday? Yes. There is always light in the darkness. That's what I'm always searching for. And I found it this morning, very early, on early morning news. And you know what that light is? The story of the man in the mosque in a wheelchair. And so he couldn't really escape what was going on. And his wife flung herself on top of him to protect him. And she was murdered. Now just pause for a moment. Can you imagine how that man felt? His wife protecting him, and he's killed. Now listen to what he said. He said, the man in the wheelchair, "I forgive that person. I forgive that person. Because hatred is not going to get me anywhere." What a marvelous person. What a marvelous person. That's the light in the darkness. And what a shining light he is. God bless him and thank him. Absolutely. Now look at ourselves. Look at ourselves. And you know, you've got to look deep into your own hearts. How much anger do you have in you? And we all have angers. There's nothing, it's how we deal with them. This week in particular, many people actually shared with me how angry they were. And some people said, this is what really I want to tell you. More than one person said, "I cannot forgive that person. I cannot forgive him. I cannot forgive her." If ever you have said that, it's a lie. That is lying. And when somebody says that to me, I tell them in a gentle way, that's a lie. Be honest and say, "I don't want to forgive that person." There are two different things. There is no such thing as "I can't forgive." Be honest. I don't want to forgive. And we've all got to realize we're living today in a culture of polarization, a very angry culture. It's everywhere. And in my life, I don't think I've ever been aware of such anger everywhere today. And it's not just confined to here. It's global. It's global. And we have people in leadership who are fostering that, you know, putting fuel to the fire all the time. Be aware of that. Be aware of that, please. And don't let people like that influence you. But if you're a true follower of Jesus, which I hope we all are, then we must be people of love. And we must be forgiving people. We have to forgive. Please realize that. And don't be, you know, we're too quick today, I think, to categorize people, to stick a label on people's foreheads. Statements like, "Oh, he's a Trump supporter," or "She's a Democrat," or "I don't have anything to do with them." That kind of language is wrong. It is wrong. There's nothing wrong if you're who you support. That's your business. but we have no right to condemn you for that. And that kind of thing, you know, and anger not dealt with, anger that you don't deal with, eventually leads to hatred. And hatred is only a short distance from violence. You see it happening all over the world. You really, really do. And violence and hatred does not solve anything. Nothing. And so be like Jesus in the middle. In the middle. And try and, like Jesus, synthesize that anger and bitterness with love. With love and forgiveness in your heart. And please, I ask you, pray every day. I don't know what you pray for. From now on, pray every day that Jesus will give you a forgiving heart. That Jesus will give me, because we all need to pray for that at the moment. Please, Lord, give me a forgiving heart.